When polyvagal theory was unveiled to the scientific community in my presidential address to the Society for Psychophysiological Research. A few months later, the theory was disseminated as a publication in the Society's journal, Psychophysiology. The article was titled, Orienting in a Defensive World, Mammalian Modifications of Our Evolutionary Heritage, a Polyvagal Theory. The title, crafted to cryptically encode several features of the theory, was intended to emphasize that mammals had evolved in a hostile environment in which survival was dependent on their ability to downregulate states of defense with states of safety and trust, states that supported cooperative behavior and health. In 1994, I was totally unaware that clinicians would embrace the theory. I did not anticipate its importance in understanding trauma-related experiences. Being a scientist and not a clinician, my interests were focused on understanding how the autonomic nervous system influenced mental, behavioral, and physiological processes. My clinical interests were limited to obstetrics and neonatology with a focus on monitoring health risk during delivery and the first days of life. Consistent with the demands and rewards of being an academic researcher, my interests were directed at mechanisms. In my most optimistic dreams of application, I thought my work might evolve into novel assessments of autonomic function. In the early 1990s, I was not interested in emotion, social behavior, and the importance of social interactions on health and the regulation of the autonomic nervous system. I seldom thought of my research leading to strategies of intervention. After the publication of the polyvagal theory, I became curious about the features of individuals with several psychiatric diagnoses. I noticed that research was reliably demonstrating depressed cardiac vagal tone, for example, respiratory sinus arrhythmia and other measures of heart rate variability, and atypical vagal regulation of the heart in response to challenges. I also noticed that many psychiatric disorders seem to share symptoms that could be explained as a depressed or dysfunctional social engagement system, with features expressed in auditory hypersensitivities, auditory processing difficulties, flat facial affect, poor gaze, and a lack of prosody. This curiosity led to an expanded research program in which I conducted studies evaluating clinical groups, for example, autism, selective mutism, HIV, PTSD, Fragile X syndrome, borderline personality disorder, women with abuse histories, children who stutter, preterm infants. In these studies, polyvagal theory was used to explain the findings and confirm that many psychiatric disorders were manifest in a dysfunction of the ventral vagal complex, which included lower cardiac vagal tone and the associated depressed function of the striated muscles of the face and head, resulting in flat facial affect and lack of prosody. In 2011, the studies investigating clinical populations were summarized in a book published by Norton, The Polyvagal Theory: Neurophysiological Foundations of Emotions, Attachment, Communication, and Self-Regulation. The publication enabled polyvagal theory to become accessible to clinicians. The theory was no longer limited to the digital libraries linked to universities and research institutes. The publication of the book stimulated great interest within the clinical community and especially with traumatologists. I had not anticipated that the main impact of the theory would be to provide plausible neurophysiological explanations for experiences described by individuals who had experienced trauma. For these individuals, the theory provided an understanding of how, after experiencing life threat, their neural reactions were retuned towards a defensive bias, and they lost the resilience to return to a state of safety. This prompted invitations to talk at clinically oriented meetings and to conduct workshops on polyvagal theory for clinicians. During the past few years, there has been an expanding awareness of polyvagal theory across several clinical areas. This welcoming by the clinical community identified limitations in my knowledge. Although I could talk to clinicians and deconstruct their presentations of clinical cases into constructs described by the theory, I was not a clinician. I was limited in how I related the theory to clinical diagnosis, treatment, and outcome. During this period, I met Deb Dana. Deb is a talented therapist with astute insights into trauma and a desire to integrate polyvagal theory into clinical treatment. For Deb, polyvagal theory provided a language of the body that paralleled her feelings and intuitive connectedness with her clients. The theory provided a syntax to label her and her clients' experiences, which were substantiated